The Treasury Department says that $56 million have been frozen worldwide in the hunt for sources of funds for al-Qaeda, almost half of it in the United States. The U.S. government has named dozens of individuals and firms whose money it wants to freeze. Nations all over the world are helping. Investigators know much more now about how al-Qaeda works financially, but there are many gaps in that knowledge. NPR's Mike Schuster has a report.
Much has been made of Osama bin Laden's personal fortune and the role it has played in financing the activities of al-Qaeda. But it would be wrong to see bin Laden's millions, if he still has them, as the primary source of al-Qaeda's money, says William Wexler, who spearheaded the effort to disrupt terrorist finances during the Clinton administration.
The correct picture is not of one person's checkbook, but of a multinational, very complicated network that raises money continuously, every day, every year, through a whole variety of sources in many different countries around the globe, and then moves that money also through a wide variety of sources. Then at the end can distribute that money to a wide variety of localities.
The goal of the financial investigation is not simply to determine how the September 11th attacks were financed, but to shut down the money flow in order to disrupt future attacks. One of the first priorities was to persuade foreign banks to freeze the accounts of the individuals and organizations on the U.S. terrorist finance list. The Treasury Department says $29 million have been trapped by these efforts. For the first time, banks in the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Bahrain, and finally, after much pressure, Saudi Arabia, have been looking for terrorist-connected accounts. Jonathan Weiner, a former State Department official who investigated these matters, says the results have been mixed.
Since September 11th, all of those countries have frozen accounts or have looked in their banking systems for the money of people associated with terrorist finance. They've gone through the entire list provided by the United States. And country after country after country have announced, we've looked for funds, we've looked diligently, we've been ready to freeze some funds. We just haven't found anything. No money in the UAE, no money in Kuwait, near as I can tell, no money announced in Saudi Arabia, none announced in Bahrain. Well, given that we know funds came out of there and we know funds went back there, their inability to find funds is pretty astonishing.
In the Middle East, the U.S. government wants more information on Islamic charities that it believes are conduits for terrorist finances. One suspicious charity is Blessed Relief, run by a Saudi citizen, Yasin al-Qadi, whose name is on the Treasury's list. For a decade, he has been connected to terrorist financing and to some of Saudi Arabia's richest families. One of those rich Saudis is Khalid bin Mahfouz. Investigators believe bin Mahfouz, a rich banker, funneled millions of dollars 3 years ago to Osama bin Laden through Blessed Relief. But his name has not been placed on the terrorist finance list, perhaps because of his connections to the Saudi royal family. He was placed under house arrest there 2 years ago after the Africa embassy bombings. Jonathan Weiner says some rich Saudis made donations out of real concern for suffering Muslims, and some gave to protect themselves from possible attack by terrorists.
The bin Mahfouz family and the Saudi bin Laden family and the Saudi royal family and all the other wealthy people in the Gulf who were good Muslims gave money to a lot of charities. Some of the charities they gave money to were charities operating in Chechnya and in the Balkans. Some of the funds that went to some of those charities were pretty clearly used ultimately to support terrorist activity and the training of people who became terrorists. As to who intended what when, I've got no idea.
As for dispersing money, although funds were sent through normal banking channels to some of the hijackers, it is believed that al-Qaeda transfers much more money through unregulated money businesses known as hawalas. Michael Zeldin, a former Justice Department prosecutor, says this method is perfect to finance small secret cells of terrorists anywhere in the world.
In terrorism, smaller amounts of money can do horrific things, which means that the terrorist organization can move money through non-bank financial institutions, which makes its detection more difficult.
The U.S. government has focused much of its attention on one of these organizations, Al-Barakat, based in Somalia. The Treasury Department says Al-Barakat skimmed $25 million a year for al-Qaeda from money transfers it carried out for thousands of clients, many of them Somalis in the United States. But the reach of Al-Barakat goes way beyond that. The Treasury Department's website lists 36 entities connected to Al-Barakat, involved in many legitimate businesses in many nations. Jonathan Weiner says Al-Barakat emerged just a couple of years ago, initially with very little capital.
And yet out of nothing, Al-Barakat grows and grows and grows, becoming a telecommunications firm, wireless, a computer firm, an internet service company, a car dealership business in the Netherlands, and with operations in 40 or 50 countries, it grew like crazy.
Al-Barakat, Weiner believes, may have been a vehicle for investing the money Al-Qaeda collected from many sources. Al-Barakat is just one node of the terrorist financial network, investigators believe. It may be the largest, but it may not. There may be others like it that investigators are not aware of. This is not an investigation that is likely to shut down terrorist finance entirely, says William Wexler, formerly of the Treasury Department. But he says it can interfere and thereby help prevent future attacks.
Disruption over time, repeated, can lead to serious degradation of the ability for terrorists to move and raise money. And that's where you really start to get victory.
Mike Schuster, NPR News, Los Angeles.